TJ's Slideways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you live here in the Engine Pro Studios, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. It's raining here. It's also raining at the Wayne County Speedway. So if you happen to be sitting down there listening in, thank you for listening there and elsewhere around the world this evening. We can take your questions at the Twitter account at TJ Slideways. Also, our Facebook fan page for TJSlideways.com and the email TJ@TJSlideways.com later in the program. Justin Barger's going to come on to discuss his first full season of racing in central Pennsylvania. And then also on the program, we're going to have Steve Rubin on from Huset Speedway. And if you haven't seen the photos of Huset's yet from earlier in the last week, it was completely underwater, and they somehow managed to still race Sunday night. So he's going to tell us how they managed to accomplish that. But our first guest this evening collected his first career 360 sprint car victory at the Knoxville Raceway, and definitely earned it, having to battle with Justin Henderson for the victory. He's visited the victory lane there in the 305 divisions, been standout there, and got injured a couple of years ago. And Jamie Ball, did that come full circle after, is you consider it full circle now after coming off the injury, now visiting victory lane at Knoxville Raceway with the 360?
Oh, I'd say the comeback's complete. It's been a heck of a ride since my injury there in 2012. We're actually coming up on 2 years to the date on this Saturday on Twin Features that it happened. And it's been quite the ride, but I've enjoyed it, and I think it's made me a better racer and a better person in the process.
And the interesting thing is you didn't handed this thing even though you're on the front row, man. You had a heck of a race with Justin Henderson. Take us through that, because he managed to get by you, but somehow you managed to get the lead back from him.
Oh, it was a heck of a race. I did start on the pole, but it was definitely a lot more earned than a lot of the people that start on the pole and get the victory. Started up front there and got a good start and got out to the lead, and was having a little bit of trouble in turn one and two around the top, and Russ Hall was able to catch me. And I believe that was on lap six, and coming off turn four, coming to lap six, me and Russ and Justin were pretty much almost three wide, and I was able to get a good run off the top and get the lead back there. And then on lap 14, Justin got by me again, and I just didn't want to lose that race. There was something inside of me last Saturday night that refused to lose, and when Justin got by me, I just stayed patient and kept my composure and kind of looked forward to turn three and four there to see where I was going to be able to run to get by him. And a lap car got in front of him, and I picked the right spot, and he didn't, and the rest is history.
Yeah, we often hear that the leader is at a disadvantage in lap traffic because you're kind of clearing the way, and then the second-place car, the lap cars, already know they're coming through, so they're prepared for it. But you managed to turn that into a way to get away from Justin on Saturday.
Yeah, it worked out real good. I've lost quite a few races at Knoxville by being the leader, getting into lap traffic, or by having yellows and kind of being the sitting duck on the restart. And thankfully, it played out in my way this past weekend, and was able to beat Justin there, and to be able to race someone like him, and not only be able to keep up with him, but to have him pass you and then pass him back for the race win is something that's real remarkable, and that really makes me feel good about earning my first win. I definitely had to earn it. It wasn't given to me.
And that puts you fourth in the points right now, as I looked it up today. So moved you up in the point standing, but you still have a little ways to go to be able to catch the leaders there.
Yeah, we still got a ways to go. At the beginning of the year, our goal is definitely a championship at Knoxville. We wouldn't do it if we didn't want to win, and wouldn't do it if we didn't think we could win. But we've had a few problems, a little bit of ups and downs, but our bad nights haven't been so bad yet, so we're hoping that they stay like that. And we got Twin Features coming up this weekend, and it can really make or break your season. So I think we're down 380 or so from point leader John Agan, and that could easily be made up, or at least a good chunk of it made up anyway, by having two really good features this coming weekend.
Jamie Ball joining us on the line right now, talking about his sprint car victory Saturday night at the Knoxville Raceway. And Jamie, we've seen it change a little bit where they're letting the 410 drivers go back and forth to the 360 division now at Knoxville. How has that changed the dynamic in the 360 class with the 410 drivers, some of them doing double duty on Saturday night?
It definitely makes it more difficult. I think Justin's the only one that's doing it consistently. Brian Brown's done it a time or two, and Wayne Johnson did as well. But it's really just a good chance for us 360 guys that only race 360 to really showcase our talent. You know, beating the regular guys, some people look down upon that as though it's just the 360 class, but when Justin Henderson and Brian Brown are in there, they're two of the best in the country, not just in 360s or not just in Knoxville. So to be able to race with those guys kind of steps the level of competition up a bit and really makes your good finishes work a lot more.
One of the first questions we got today when we announced you were going to be on the show is, what plans do you have outside of racing Knoxville this year, if at all? You mentioned that you are going to run for a championship there, but do you plan on traveling outside of Knoxville very much the rest of the year?
Not really for the rest of the year. Like I said, our main focus is Knoxville. My shop is two blocks from the racetrack. When I step out of our shop door here, I can see the suites and the stands. And it just makes sense for us to run here with the price of gas and diesel and all that. But hopefully we can get through Knoxville with the cars that we have and the motor program that we have going on. And then we plan to travel some after there. We won't be probably going very far for this year. But we're definitely going to plan on hitting some Sprintivators races and maybe some ASCS races after Knoxville, providing the equipment still there. But with our three-car team with a 305, 360, and 410 at the track every night, we stay busy enough as it is. So our main focus is Knoxville for now.
I was going to say, you do have the 410 team as well there. Are there any plans to put you in a 410 maybe just for the Nationals, maybe a couple weeks leading into it, or are you going to be sticking to the 360 this year?
I'm just going to stick to the 360 this year. My dad's kind of working on phasing out of sprint car racing, so he says anyway, but he said that before. But he's kind of taking the 410 program under his wing and trying to work out some of the bugs so that possibly next year I can step up to the 410s and step in the car that's ready to go, that we have a good setup for and a good base. Because as you see at Knoxville, the competition is as difficult as it's ever been. And to make the step up as a rookie with a car and a motor that you've never had before is difficult enough as it is, let alone when you add in the competition at Knoxville. So we're really hoping that by the end of the year we can really get a good handle on that 410 so that next year I can step up and have some good success right out of the box.
One thing I've noticed about you right off the bat is you're a very active social media driver. You're very active on your Twitter account. How do you integrate that into your program, and how do you approach your social media? Do you think about it much, or is it just kind of a off the cuff, you make a post every now and then, or is it somewhat calculated for you?
Oh, I try to do as much as I can. I went to college, AIB College of Business in Des Moines. I did their degree in three program where I got my bachelor's degree in actually under 3 years, about 2.5 years. And I did day, night, and online classes. And AIB is one of my best sponsors. They've been with me forever. And I had an associate's in marketing as well. So with the way that the world is today, social media is one of the most important things you can do. It's free, it's easy, and it's easy to get followers. It's easy to get people out there. You just got to make sure that what you're putting out there is proper and not rubbing people the wrong way. But it's also nice because people can get to know the real you. They can see into my personal life. They can see that I have two dogs and that I have a girlfriend and different activities and things that we do. And it just kind of, I think people can really connect to you a lot more, and that really adds to your fan base, and it really can get your sponsors a lot more exposure when people feel like they know you. You know, they know what you did this week, or, you know, I get comments on my dogs all the time. They're named Kaiser and Kokomo from Kokomo Speedway, and Kaiser Wheels is where they got their name from. And I just really enjoy social media. I enjoy meeting new people and getting different questions and comments from anybody from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook and Vine. They're just, it's really fun. It kind of, with this win this past week, my phone's been blowing up. I'm still getting posts today. You know, there's a few people that were saying good things happen to good people, and they're not even people that I know. So people really get a sense of knowing you, I think, through social media, and it's really benefits me and my team.
And one aspect of this we're seeing for the drivers sometimes, when you run into a rough patch, like when you got injured, were you surprised at the well-wish onslaught that happened through social media and stuff after you got hurt?
Absolutely. The racing community is just phenomenal. When I got hurt, I broke my elbow and got stabbed by some incoming parts that went in my armpit and came out my collarbone and ripped out my back. I was out of it. It was the worst 2 or 3 months of my life. I didn't leave home for a while. Like I said, it was life flighted. And up at the hospital where I was at, people could get online and send cards to my room, and they'd bring in stacks of cards from anybody from racing fans to officials at Knoxville to probably the most surprising one was there was one from the O'Carroll family. And just a year before that, me and Carson had the really tight battle for the 305 points championship. So I could say that me and him were probably a little bit of bitter rivals, just because the good competition that we had, and through good competition still becomes good people. And they sent me a message, just saying that that they hoped I was doing well and couldn't wait for me to get back out there. And the racing community is just phenomenal. Anybody from, there are people from all across the country, even some people from Australia that sent well wishes. And just kind of motivates you a little bit more to get back out there, because you know that a lot of people care, even though I'm just a, 360 guy at Knoxville. I'm not some World of Outlaw person, but people do care worldwide.
Jamie Ball joining us on the line. Jamie, one thing that's different this year is the television package at Knoxville. We've talked to a few people about it. Do you like the way the show is being approached? And it's a little different format with a more reality and personality type base versus racing highlights. Do you like that? And are you seeing any benefit yet locally there from having the television? Or are you more recognizable possibly because of the television program?
I love the way they're doing it. I actually became really good friends with Brandon Bingham of Bing Bang Media, who's producing the show and working for Knoxville Raceway. And the beginning of the year, me and him and Mike Roberts went around to some schools and did some promotion from at elementary and middle schools and high schools here in the local area. And just his philosophy on the show, I think, is just awesome. I really like that it's more of a reality show. It kind of, it gets people going. And like I said, with the social media, it gets to where people can feel like they know the drivers on a different level. It's not just the racing action. Especially with the TV show being tape delayed, a lot of people already know the results, but if they can hear, like Davey Heskin when he got second to Craig Delansky, I'm sure a lot of people want to know how he felt about getting second versus, they already knew the results. And I really like the reality of it. It's helping me tremendously. Like I said, my sponsor, AIB College of Business, they're getting all kinds of TV time. I ran in the National Speed Sport News Outlaw Dirt Car race down in North Carolina, and won my heat race down there and made the A-Main with some top caliber guys. And they even got their name on TV there for go-kart race, plus a few of the heat races I won. And we're really looking forward to the week when they show last Saturday's feature. I think it's just going to be tremendous. It lets people get to know you. The emotion that I showed and that my team showed, I think, will really make for good TV, because it was true emotion. It was nothing put on, nothing acted. It was raw emotion, and it's just going to put on for really good TV.
One thing about racing at Knoxville every week is it's really the only weekly venue for sprint cars, other than a couple of 305 tracks that run them weekly, in the area for quite a distance. Do you think that area could support a Friday night program if a track stepped up and did it properly?
No, not really. I think a lot of people kind of get disappointed that a lot of the races don't attract more of the Knoxville guys. Sprint Invaders pick up a few here or there. I know there was a big race last night in at Casino Speedway that paid $3,000 to win, and there's always some, I-80 and Cameron races down around here that pay pretty decent, but I think a lot of people are like us, and they're focused on Knoxville, and it takes a lot of money to be focused and to be good at Knoxville, and it makes it to where racing more than one night a week really isn't possible unless you're going to try to do two things at once, which typically ends up hurting one of your programs. We don't go race anywhere during the season, because when I get my car and my motor dialed in Knoxville, I don't want to go out there and risk hurting it. My rookie year, we were traveling all over, and it was when I was in the, actually it was 2011, I was in the points battle with Carson McCarl on the 305s, and I crashed my car 3 days before 360 Nationals at Peoria at a Sprint Invaders race, and kind of threw the rest of my year off. So I think to get another track around here, it'd be pretty difficult, because everybody's so focused and all their money is focused on Knoxville alone.
Well, Jamie, we have to congratulate you. It was neat to see you pick up that victory. Like you said, the comeback is now full circle, and we're glad to see it. And hopefully it's just the start of things to come for you in the 360 class.
I sure hope so. It's been a long time coming. I started racing in 2010, and I've had numerous seconds and lost multiple features at Knoxville in both the 305 and 360. And like I said in one of my interviews, in sprint cars you never want to turn right, but the best feeling in the world is turning right on the victory lane at Knoxville. And I sure hope that with this confidence that I have and the confidence my team has, that we can just keep them rolling and keep it going right into 360 Nationals and have a good showing there and just finish the year strong.
All right, well, Jamie, thank you for taking time with us tonight. And more than likely, if you keep this up, we'll be talking to you again towards the end of the year.
Thanks for having me, and I just want to thank all my sponsors. Thank Allen J. Enterprise, AIB College of Business, J.J. Kane Auctioneers, Timberline Tree Service, Bangor Construction, Pat Jones Trucking, and all the other partners that help get us out to the track, because without them, it's not possible. Racing's an expensive sport and takes a lot of time, and my crew is definitely the best. My crew chief, Anthony Miller, doing awesome. He's new to the sport, but he's sure learning quick, and I think it showed last week that he can sure put a nice car out there for me. And my car owners, Jody, and my mom and dad, and girlfriend Sadie, who pushes me for all the fitness. I've never felt in better shape, and it's all thanks to her. But thank you for having me once again, and have a good night.
All right, man. Take care. J.B. Ball joining us there on the line. He's a very nice young man. Comes from a racing family there in the Knoxville area. And Larry Ball Jr., his dad, does a great job over there too. But this kid, I'll tell you, that was a gruesome accident a couple years ago. And it's great to see him back in the seat. Update from Wayne County Speedway. Andrew Palker, your fast qualifier tonight at Wayne County. And right now in a rain delay. But according to the All-Star Circuit of Champions, they are going to try to get the show in. So they're hanging tight at Wayne County Speedway, going to try to run this thing in. But if you're looking at some of the pictures on Twitter right now, the pits are underwater. So, but if I know one thing from being on Ohio Speed Week, there's always been a couple of races in my years of travel when there were rain that there'd be a track that would try to get it in. And I've seen some 2 a.m. features at Attica. I've seen a couple of them at Findlay. I'm trying to think, Eldora, I don't think I ever had a Speed Week rain delay there. But Attica and Findlay come to mind right off the bat. Findlay a couple of times. Attica, one in particular, it was kind of memorable. That was a where literally I went to grab a cat nap in the camper and was awakened by fireworks at 1:30 in the morning. And then we went racing. That one particularly memorable because the racetrack's right in the middle of town. It was in the middle of the week. I'm sure that went over well. But, there's, you know, we've heard about other places too. Chillicothe's had a couple of them too that ran into the middle of the night. So if you're at Wayne County Speedway, get comfortable, because it just was announced a few minutes ago. The All-Stars do plan on racing tonight. Another thing in particular, our first guest tonight, if you're interested in him, Twitter account at JamieBall5J. So at JamieBall5J, you can follow him there. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come back with a little different story. Last week, Houston Speedway was completely underwater. I mean, it had been rained out 2 weeks before, and it couldn't be any more underwater than what it was. You could barely make out high objects at the racetrack, just the outline of where everything was. And Steve Rubin and his crew, the Rubin family, carried on. They pushed and pushed, and they were able to race Sunday night. So I want to get them on to find out how in the world they managed to do that after a flood. So we're going to talk to him, and then later Justin Barger is going to be on. We're going to talk to him about his first career 410 sprint car win at Susquehanna Speedway Park, and then his first season with the Central Pennsylvania Sprint Car Circuit with the 410. And this is a guy that we've run across doing a variety of different things, from USAC to ESS to pavement to even Robbie Gordon Super Trucks at one point. This guy's done a little bit of everything. So we'll talk to Justin, see what his first year full season Central Pennsylvania has been like. We're going to take a commercial break. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com. NationalSprintCarHallOfFame.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic pick. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and general admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic, presented by Casey Kane, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. Our second guest tonight, his racetrack and his crew pulled off one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen to get a race in. If you saw photos, middle of last week at Houston Speedway, it looked like a lake, literally. I mean, the high points of the racetrack were covered. And as the water receded, Steve Rubin and his crew got to work, and they managed to get their race program in on Sunday night. And Steve is here to join us to talk about what it took to get that program in and what happened there. And Steve, let's go back to the beginning. You guys have received a tremendous amount of rain. You've rained out the past 2 weeks. At what point did it start to reach, though, the critical point where you had to look at this possibly being a full-blown flood?
Well, when you start with the weather forecast, we see how much rain. It's not really the rain that's on top of you. When it rains on top of you, you're pretty much, you're going to rain your race out, but it's what comes, what's got to come at you. And that's what we pay attention to. We knew that they had a lot of rain up top, up north of us, and we were watching that, and the weatherman said they're going to get 1 to 2 inches, and we weren't really concerned about that. But when it hit 6 and 7 and 8 inches, we thought, oh boy, we're pickled now. And it came, and it never quit coming. It rained for like 2.5 days. And a lot of people don't realize that when we started out, we had 80-mile-an-hour winds and hail before the rain. So we had wind damage before it ever even started the flooding.
Wow. And then, of course, the water definitely took over at that point. When did at what point could you not get to the racetrack?
We were always able to drive in, but to get into the infield, there was like 5 feet of water in there.
That was from Monday. It just kept coming up on Monday afternoon, and pretty soon there was like five and a half feet, and then the fish were swimming around down there, and I'm thinking like, oh boy, and there's really not a lot. The more you try to, you're not going to stop Mother Nature. You learn to live with it, and that's what we've done. And back when we were on the farm, we had a lot of floods back then, and you learn to live with how to handle it, and the worst thing you do is try to make something happen that you can't make happen, then you get hurt. And we had it all figured out. We have a tube we put in our drain that takes the water flow even with the creek, so actually the water won't backflow into the pits. Well, then it started coming through the back gate, and then we can sandbag that, but then the issue you get is when you get more rain, then you got to pump that out. So we were just hit from three different sides, so finally we just sat back and watched it and waited for it to go down and started dealing with it. And the water table even today is very high, and we're scared to even put a fence post in. We might have it hit a geyser out there. Right with Jed Clamp, but I hope it comes up black. The bubble and brew, whatever they call that on the clamper. So, but no, it was quite a task. It was an effort. My brother, he's the master when it comes to racetracks and getting them ready. And people came out there when we started watering the racetrack last night. They go, you got to be kidding me. There was 5 feet of water in here and we're watering the racetrack. And it was actually dusty in the infield.
Well, that doesn't surprise me actually in the least. Seems like that always happens when it rains, more likely to happen. Steve Rubin joining us from the Huset Speedway. One thing that might have helped you in this has happened a couple of times before to you. We were talking off the air. You've had high water there. What did you learn from those first two experiences that might have helped you this time around?
Well, we prepared. We had a lot of stuff moved. There was a couple of pieces of equipment we couldn't get out. When that water starts coming up, I mean, you don't have a lot of time. I mean, you're within, in this case, we've had a couple hours and that was it. We were going to be underwater, and one of the road graders we had, we couldn't, we got it started, but the mow board was down. You're not going to pull them out of the way. So that kind of made a lot of news around the world, that road grader with the water going through it. So, and we had some equipment out back and the concession equipment. We'd went down and got a lot of the stuff out because we were getting ready for it. So you just got to know, at these 100-year floods, you have to know your limits. And pretty much what you don't want wrecked, get it out of there, because it is going to get, it's going to be shot. So you have to decide what you want to save. And if you can't save everything, you start getting the most expensive stuff out.
Steve Rubin joining us. Now, when the water began receding, at what point did you start going through your head, hey, we might be able to actually race this Sunday?
Well, here's the crazy thing. The water went down on Tuesday. We were getting already geared up. It was going out of the parking lot, and then it rained again. So we had half the place cleaned up, ready to race on Sunday, and it rained again and flooded again. The floodwater came back up. So it was actually twice in 1 week that we had to deal with it. We were pretty wore out about that time, so we just kind of sat there and had a couple of beers and said, man, oh, man, what next? So we knew it on Saturday that, actually going into Friday when it went out of the infield, our concerns was our power. A lot of our transformers were underwater and we had a transformer blown out and we were worried about the lights and that kind of stuff. And then you get the water table so high that, you can drag it and you still got to have Mother Nature's got to dry it out. There's nothing you can do about it. So, and even last night when we raced a third of our parking lot, we had coned off that you couldn't park. It was still so soft. But it was probably Friday. We knew we were going to race on Sunday. Actually, it was probably Thursday night. We knew we were going to run. That's what we do for a living. I don't have, our job is racing and we knew what we could do. And I say Thursday night, we knew we were going to run Sunday one way or another.
Steve Rubin from the Huset Speedway joining us on the line. Did your staff have to answer the phone, Huset Speedway, yes, we are racing tonight? Were people coming up to you with a little bit of disbelief that they were actually there?
Well, the biggest thing that hurt us was people coming out and taking photos, and a lot of people that are listening have probably seen that road grader with the water. And then our newspaper that comes on, they put on the front page of everything underwater in the infield. And people like, oh, geez, they're done for the year. And that stigma, you have to fight that. We'll fight that for another week or two. I mean, our World of Outlaws show is coming up next week, and people are going, oh, there's no way they can race. They're flooded out. They're done for the year. Well, guess what? It goes down as fast as it comes up. It comes up in a day and a half. It goes down in a day and a half. And we were racing, so we had – and that was really why we worked even extra hard, was to get the race in, get the media coverage, let everybody know that we are running, and – to stop the, you know, to slow down some of the bad press, people thinking that you're not racing. So that's really hard to do.
And now you have different outlets that you can use for that. Your new website, by the way, I love the new website. I just want to say that it makes my job 100 times easier covering you guys. So I appreciate that. And we were all over too. As soon as we saw signs that you guys are racing, we were hitting retweet and posting and everything on, hey, they're open. You know, this is awesome. And that's one reason we wanted to have you on tonight. If you were going to talk to one of your fellow promoters, if they came up to you and asked you, hey, if this ever happened to me, what would be the one piece of advice you would give them?
Well, you know, I would, you have to make sure what you have is in, you know, that could get flooded. It is not fun. A person that has never experienced it, it can be something that just tears you apart and throw your arms up. In 93 was a lot worse when we had a dam break in 93 and, nobody called us and, they called us at about 9 and actually we had a World of Outlaws show scheduled for that Saturday. The dam broke at midnight. Nobody called us at 8 o'clock in the morning. There was actually more water. And we were set for, you know, how you can, you know, the promoters out there that are ready for a big race, they know how they're stocked up with everything. Pretty much everything was gone. We had nothing left. We didn't have a tractor, didn't have a road grader, never had a drag. Everything was disappeared and we had to start all over again. But you gotta have, you know, you have to know where you're at, get the stuff out of there. And if you have to deal with it, you can't deal with it by yourself. You gotta have a good family support. You gotta have a support staff. Because if you go it alone, you'll go crazy and you'll just quit. You won't do it anymore. You'll just walk away from it. You gotta have some good people around you, especially the ones that have went through it, that went through a mess. Because it makes things a lot easier. It kind of keeps everybody going. And, you know, they had this thing called out there, I think they're called Chuck Norris's, and that's what we survived on for 4 days because we pretty much didn't have any sleep. So every 2 or 3 hours we'd go down and have a little shot of one of those things and away we went again, so. That's what kept us going.
Well, Steve, we do appreciate that. And on a brighter note, you do have your World of Outlaws show coming up, and hopefully the wires are receding because you guys have some big shows coming up.
Yeah, we've got the big show this Sunday, and we run the Outlaw Sprints every week, as you know. And we've just added today. We've had, you know what, the rainouts we've had. We've got sponsors on sponsors, and that's what it's all about is the sponsorship. Without them, there's no cars, there's no racetrack. We have to make sure they're happy. The drivers put on a good show for the fans, and they're looking for things that we can't afford them to. What race fans we have, we can't afford them to have to go afford to have them go find something else to do. So we've added a date. We're going to actually have the World of Outlaws show on the 2nd, which is a Wednesday, and we're going to come back with a full-fledged 410 show again on Thursday the 3rd. And so a lot of guys can come in and spend 2 days and not have any travel, and that's a big expense for these guys is the gas, you know, getting up and down the road. And I think the 3rd was a perfect fit with the World of Outlaws here. Some of the guys that aren't going to travel with them down south and some of the guys up north can come down and get a couple days in on their, under their belt. And there's a lot of guys that haven't raced. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of racing with all the rain around. So I think it's going to be a good fit for us, a 2-day show. So we're excited about that.
And 2-day shows are something you guys do quite a bit, especially at holiday weekends, being a Sunday night track. One of the neat things I think that you guys do is you quite often do Sunday, Monday doubleheaders as well on the holiday weekends.
Yeah, we have 2 Saturdays a year we race on. That's what I call them. Memorial Day Sunday and Labor Day Sunday. They're the 2 days that I call my Saturdays where nobody works the next day. And why we never scheduled that 3rd on the 1st place, I don't know. We must have been not thinking. But the 2nd and 3rd is a really good fit. Nobody works on the 4th of July. They can take that off and relax on Friday or go to their local racetrack that is racing on the 4th and have a good time. So we're pretty excited about it.
Well, Steve, I really appreciate what you guys do up there at Husitz, and that effort did not go unnoticed. I'm sure there are plenty of race fans in the area that were happy to be at Husitz Speedway, and race teams for that matter, on Sunday to be able to take it in. And best of luck with your World of Outlaws show coming up, and if people want more information about Husitz Speedway, where can they find it?
Husitz-Speedway.com. They go right onto our website, and everything is on there, and I haven't looked at it I haven't really had a chance to get out. I don't know if hopefully the photos are not on there, but some of the guys probably did put some stuff out there. But this thing had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of hits all over the world, people looking at that. And it was kind of not the best thing to have out there, but I guess it was some advertising for the racetrack. But we are up and running, and everything went pretty good last night. It wasn't bad. Galanski won, so he's here running for points, and should be a good time.
All right. Well, Steve, appreciate you joining us, and best of luck the rest of the year.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. And thanks for all the listeners.
All right. Steve Rubin from Houston Speedway. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, Justin Barger's going to join us. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Must-See Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out, foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane on Saturday, September 27th, is stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway and boasts the highest payout in the track's history, with $20,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic picks. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for reserved seating and general admission. Save your seat now and save $5 when ordering. The Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kane, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway. Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live, heard here on RacesOnTheWeb.com. We're wrapping up the show tonight with a driver that has shifted gears for the 2014 season. He has decided to take on the ever-difficult Central Pennsylvania Sprint Car Circuit full-time this year. And In his first full season, he managed to pick up a victory over at the Susquehanna Speedway Park a couple of weeks ago. And Justin Barger joining us on the line, or as I joke, half of my last name. The other line here.
There you go.
Justin, thank you for taking time out to join us. Let's start off with the decision of going to Central Pennsylvania this year. When did you start contemplating it and decide this is what you were going to do for the 2014 season?
Last year when we started running down there during the year, we had some success and we really enjoyed it, and they welcomed us there, and you know, we had a lot of fun. So we decided to, you know, get ready for this year and, you know, make an attack at it and see what we can learn and, you know, go from there.
Now, the 410, adjustment to the 410, I hear a lot of 360 guys that haven't done a lot of 410 racing say it's just a huge jump, and you've done some 410 racing here and there for several years. What do you think is the bigger of the two things, that hurdles to overcome when you decide to do the Central Pennsylvania jump? Getting used to the car with the motor and more power, or the competition? Which one do you think is the bigger jump?
I think it's both, but mainly probably just the competition. You know, I'm just going down there where they've been running for years and years. And, you know, I don't have, you know, I probably have less than 50 laps total at Lincoln, and I'm racing against guys that have thousands. So, you know, we're gaining on it. And, you know, like if they ran in New York tracks a little bit more with the 410s, we'd have a little bit more of an advantage. But, you know, and I didn't run 410s in the past enough to, you know, really gain all the knowledge I need. And, you know, with tires changing and compounds and, you know, sidewalls and stuff, it makes it a little difficult. But since we're running now full time, it's, you know, we're gaining some experience, and, you know, we picked up a win here, and we're close on a couple other ones too. So it feels good to, you know, run up front there.
Yeah, and you did pick up a win at Susquehanna a couple of Sundays ago. So let's talk about that. Some heavy hitting cars there. Every race there has tough cars, but Sunday in particular, because it's not it's a night where you're all alone there. It's not like Lincoln and Port where the cars get split up, and you managed to pull that off. Was that your first visit to Susquehanna, or had you been there previously?
Just a hand, like a few times. I think we were there one time earlier in the year. And then, you know, less than three or four times we've been there, but we've been decent there. And, you know, we had a really good car this, you know, that race. And I was just, I had to get a bad draw in the heat and, you know, get up to a good, invert spot and started me third. And I just, raced pretty good with Aaron Ott and Austin Hogue there. And we ended up, getting in front of them. So it was a good night.
And who have you been able to kind of lean on maybe for advice out there? Who's probably been the most helpful person that you could go to for any kind of question you've had since you've started running out there in Central PA?
There's a few guys that, you know, that helped me pretty good. And, you know, we're, you know, it's the same situation. Like if they came up to New York and ran some of the tracks that I run, and, you know, I'm more than willing to help them too. But, you know, Fred Raymer's been a good, you know, help, and he's had a lot of success over the years. And Danny Dietrich and a lot of guys, you know, help us out down there. And, you know, it feels good to go down there in their backyard and, you know, then welcome racing with us. So see what we can keep doing the rest of the year.
And you are a New York resident. So what is the average commute on your weekend? What's the weekly schedule look like with this Central Pennsylvania deal? What's the commute like? How far? And how have you had to alter your program to accommodate that?
We just have to leave Friday afternoons, which, you know, it gets tough with our family business, but it's like 250 miles each way, you know, so it's a little over 4 hours each direction, no matter where you go in PA, where we're racing. So it makes for a long travel, and we're almost 5 hours from Lincoln. So, but we enjoy doing it, and, you know, we're gaining some experience doing it.
Justin Barger joining us on the line. Another adjustment probably for you, because you've been at ESS and Patriot and all the East Coast groups out there. You guys went from racetrack to racetrack. You're on different racetracks every night. Now you're on the same three or four racetracks every night. How different has that been where you're going to the same place every Friday night?
You know, it's different. You know, I'm usually used to running about 20, 25 different tracks a year. And, you know, now I'm on a handful of them, but, you know, it's some of the toughest competition around down in PA. And, you know, to be able to keep up with those guys and beat them on occasion is, you know, it's a real privilege. So, we've been running sprint cars a long time, but, you know, nothing compares to when you're, you know, running against those guys weekly. So we just got to, you know, keep our program going good, and, you know, hopefully we get a few more wins here.
And, of course, you get to do the traveling thing now, Central Pennsylvania Speed Week coming up. Assuming all goes well, is the plan to run all the Speed Week shows, or are you going to pick and choose from that series?
I'm going to try to run all of them. You know, there's a lot of experience you can gain there, and, you know, the payouts are good, and there's a point fund for it. So as soon as you're down there running, you know, the tracks aren't relatively that far from each other, you know, and so I think it's a good deal for us to run, and hopefully we can pick up a win or two. It would be nice.
Now, one of the hot topics in the Central Pennsylvania area has to do with the handicapping versus qualifying versus drawing the different formats they have out there. A lot of the veteran drivers have soured on the handicapping program. You're kind of new to the area. Granted, we've seen handicapping in ESS and Patriot in years past. They've gone away from that. What's your feeling on the handicapping versus the qualifying? Does it really matter to you, or do you have a preference?
You know, the guys, they're complaining a little bit about handicap just because of how close the competition is and how hard it is to get by some guys, you know, now, you know, with the way everybody's so evenly matched and with the tires and stuff they have now. So I don't really know the best way to go about doing it. Maybe, you know, time against your own group, your own heat race group. That's the only other option I think might be feasible. But the handicap's definitely tough. You know, if you're running up front, you know, they're handicapped to, you know, 6th, 8th, or 10th, no matter what you do in a heat race. But, you know, the outlaw shows are tough now, too, you know, with where you have to win a heat race in order to get in the dash, where you're going to be in the top, you know, few in time trials. So, you know, with my experience in the past, I haven't run all that many time trial shows, so we're gaining knowledge on that too. And, you know, that's a whole different program too. You know, the guys that can time trial good usually run up front. So hopefully we can sharpen up on that too.
I was just going to say, for a driver, you just stole the next topic from me there, but as a driver, what's the biggest adjustment you've had to make to get mentally ready, you know, to drive the car in qualifying? What are you doing differently?
You just got to keep the car freed up enough to where, you know, you don't lug the motors down and you get good laps. And there's some guys that are really, really good at it. And, you know, it shows with, you know, they get 10, 12, 14 quick times a year. So, if you can time trial good at some of those shows, usually you stay up front. And the Speed Week shows are all time trial deals. So hopefully you can get, you know, the car rolling early in the night and you're fast out of the trailer, and usually you have a good night.
So this being said, it sounds like you are focused on the 410 program and the Central Pennsylvania circuit for this year. Are we going to see you at any 360 shows at all this year, or are you just going to pretty much put all your eggs at this point into the Central PA basket?
I didn't really put my whole schedule together to see, you know, where any 360 races fall, but I usually look a month or two in advance, and I haven't seen one that, you know, I'm within reason of me running. So I'll definitely be running all 410 stuff here from, you know, for the next month or two. So there might be one 360 show during the week at Bridgeport if we, you know, decide to go to that instead of the, you know, the outlaw show at Lernerville, I think it falls on. So we'll, you know, that might be the only one in the next few weeks.
Justin Barger joining us, and got to ask how you're feeling, too. You got into a kind of a nasty accident over at the Port Royal Speedway, got your bell rung a little bit. That car was torn up, too. That had to be one of the hardest hits I've seen this year. How are you feeling after that? You sound okay. You sounded okay off air. How are you feeling after the incident?
I'm feeling better. You know, every day is, you know, it's recovering, and, you know, the hardest, it was probably the hardest hit I've taken, you know, multiple hits, but, you know, usually you get one or two good ones, but this was, you know, four or five, six good ones in a row. And, you know, you take a little bit of time there. We had to take a weekend off for the doctor's orders. So, but I'm feeling pretty good now, and, you know, hopefully we can continue to run good and you'll feel better, you know, every time you get in the car. So.
One final question. Central Pennsylvania Speed Week looming right now. Are there any of the venues that you haven't been to, like Path Valley and stuff, that you're kind of looking forward to seeing in particular?
I haven't been to Path Valley, and, you know, Freddie's put a lot of time and effort into, you know, making that show good. And with the stuff he has on the line, you know, it's good incentives all night, you know, with, you know, money to win heat and time trial money. But I haven't seen the place, but usually I'm a fan of the small racetracks. So we're really looking forward to that one too.
Well, Justin, it's been fun to follow your progress. You know, we followed you through the Canadian Nationals. I was joking in a column the other day. It's kind of weird. We've crossed paths in USAC and Canadian Nationals, all kinds of places, and now Central Pennsylvania. So best of luck this year on the journey, and who knows where you'll be racing at the next time we talk.
That's it. You know, we're trying all different avenues what we can do, and, you know, show our versatility here. And if we can keep rolling with the 410 the way we're going now, we might be into something else here in the near future. But we're going to focus on this now and see what we can do.
Well, Justin, thank you very much, and have a good evening.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Justin Barger, we're going to come back and close out the show next. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
All-Star Performance is a manufacturer and supplier of racing and high-performance auto parts, accessories, and specialty tools. From quarter midgets to sprint cars, All-Star Performance has all of the accessories you need. To find a dealer near you, visit allstarperformance.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
Blade Shock Technology is a cutting-edge shock bump stop technology company located in Northwest Ohio. Specializing in sprint car racing, new and used sales, service, and repair, Eric Slade and his crew have over 30 years' experience working with shocks, from the short tracks to the super speedways. For more information, visit SladeShockTechnology.com. Slade Shock Technology, where knowledge and experience make the difference.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead butts in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
If you love sprint car racing like we do, you need to get yourself to Pennsylvania this summer. Already recognized as one of the 10 must-see races of the year, the first annual Dirt Classic presented by Jason Fenner on Saturday, September 27th, 3 years stacking up to be a premier event. The race will be held at Lincoln Speedway, boasts the highest payout in the track history, with $40,000 on the line to the winner. But you don't have to wait till September to get your Dirt Classic bets. Tickets can be purchased at www.dirtclassic.com for Zerb seating and general admission. Save your seat now and save $4 when ordering. The Dirt Classic presented by Casey Kidd, Saturday, September 27th at Lincoln Speedway. In the rain at Wayne County Speedway, but apparently the rain has subsided. And they are going to try to get the show in, according to Brian Liskey, who is announcing the program tonight at Wayne County Speedway for the All-Star Circuit of Champions. So if you're at Wayne County and are bored and listening to this on your smartphone, I hope we entertained you for an hour of your rain delay. If you haven't, well, the podcast is going to be posted. You'll be able to kill some time listening to that here in a moment. Something I wanted to cover a bit. We've been on racesontheweb.com since the inception of this idea. And this show is the whole premise and the whole reason this show exists is because of Verwayne Greenhoe. And he has been on my back for years about doing a program like this. I told him, I'll do it, but I'll only do it when we can do it the right way. Well, we started doing it. We had some kind of halfway equipment and just tried to get our feet wet in it. And there was instant interest in it. And people were wanting to hear it right away. So we struggled along with it for a bit. And then we took a year off of it because I wanted to perfect everything. I wanted to get everything at least good enough to where the show sounded halfway decent. And we did that. We got the equipment. We experimented for a whole year off and on with different things, and we came up with this setup we have now that we enjoy very much. It's a great setup that we have. We're actually going to be expanding upon it hopefully here in the near future, but for right now it's a good studio setup and we're pretty happy with everything. But unfortunately, racesontheweb.com has been going through some changes, and there's been hardships in Verwayne's life, and the streaming at Crystal Motor Speedway was in question for a little bit. It takes a lot of effort. If you've ever seen what it takes behind the scenes to make that web stream happen every Saturday at Crystal, it's a really big deal. It's a big undertaking, and Verwayne has done it for years, but thankfully some sponsorship has come up to keep that going at this point. I just want to let all of our listeners know that we talked to racesontheweb.com, and we are going to be on the air there at a minimum through July of 2015. So we are signed up for that long. So so no worries. We're all the Monday night fans. We are going to be here for you every Monday night, as far as we can see, through July of 2015 at this point. But if you're interested in sponsoring the Sprints on Dirt and National Racing Alliance stream on July 19th, the Michael Rich Memorial, contact the folks at racesontheweb.com. They're looking for some sponsorship, and we plan on contributing to a little bit of that, too, to see if we can make that happen. But also Michigan Traditional Sprints in September. We're looking for sponsorship for that, too, because we want to make that happen. A lot of Sprint Car fans watch racesontheweb.com. And that's their connection, you know, if they can't quite make it to the racetrack. And what we found is racesontheweb.com keeps people engaged. Even if they can't make it to the racetrack, it allows them to stay involved and keep up with it. So when they can get to the racetrack, they have an idea of what's going on. It keeps them engaged and keeps them, they have a desire to want to go to the racetrack. And that's what we found. And hopefully that continues on. But there's been a lot of news lately about Races on the Web and what might happen. And some people asked us about this program, and we are on the air through July of 2015. So good news to have there. And that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. I'd like to thank Jamie Ball for being on the air. Steve Rubin from the Houston Speedway. If you're in the area, make sure to get out there and see the World of Outlaw program coming up. And Justin Barger and Verwayne Greenhill, we want to send you your best thoughts and prayers with everything that's going on with your family right now. And thank you for being the inspiration of why this show even exists. That's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live. Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.